Welcome, welcome to the second ever episode of Throw Like a Girl, the podcast. I'm Melissa Policelli.
And I'm Carrie Angelotti.
And we're doing it a little bit different this time. Last time we were in my bedroom.
Yes, and now we're in my bedroom!
We're like Skyping. Like, technology is crazy that we can be able to do this. And so if anyone is thinking about doing a podcast, it's really easy because me and Kara aren't even in the same spot right now and we're still doing it.
I've never used Skype before. This is my first time, so I think I'm a pro at it already.
I haven't used Skype probably since, like, high school, and I think now we're having, you know, this is, like, free advertising for Skype for all our listeners. We're promoting Skype.
So, there's so much happened in sports this week. A lot of depressing things have happened. A lot of enlightening things, too. Hockey preseason just started. World Cup is coming to an end. Canada and Team Europe are battling it out. What else is going on? We got the wild card.
The wild card race in both the AL and the NL is just crazy. No one seems to want either title, so we'll talk about that a little bit later.
And also, we had a tragic death happen that shook the baseball world this past week.
This past weekend.
Football's in full force through the NFL. What do we finish? What, week three? Week two? What are we up to now?
It's week three. We're on to week three.
Weeks are passing us so quickly. We've got a lot of injuries.
We're on to week four. We're on to week four already.
Cowboys are 2-1.
Oh, because the Jets played three games.
Yeah, we're going on week four.
Yeah, okay. Because I was like,
we have a winning record, baby! That's what I'm going for. Also, things are happening in women in sports, too. That's why Throw Like a Girl
is here to tell you all about it.
Obviously. I like that segue over there. Okay, so, Alyssa, you can start off because you found this
first
article.
Hold on. Before we even get into it, just make sure you're following us if you aren't doing so already on social media. Facebook, you know the name, Throw Like a Girl Radio. Twitter, at Throw Like an Underscore Girl. Instagram, Throw Like a Girl Radio, and you can always email us any articles you see, anything you would like to be talked about, throwlikeagirlradio@gmail.com.
Yes, please reach out to us.
Yeah.
Ideas, because it takes us a while to figure out what we're going to talk about.
And also, it would be, just be nice to have some type of input from other people, who you know, so this way we know, hey, somebody's listening.
Anybody? Actually, you had someone call you up the other
day. I did, which was, it was refreshing.
It was refreshing to hear. Except our family who listens to these podcasts.
So, we'll start off the show. If you guys remember doing our radio show, we used to start off with the Woman of the Week. So, this is kind of like that, but kind of just like a, hey, here's a little snippet of what's going on in the women's sports world. So, this article came out at the end of August. They've just gotten around to doing it because today's podcast is going to be pretty much talking all about baseball.
Yes, so, baseball's picking up. Get
exactly.
Ready.
It's the best time of the year. Hockey, football, baseball, they're all back.
In the industry, you have to cut all these highlights. So much happening at once. But did you see the new show pitch that just came out last week?
I recorded the episode, but I haven't yet watched it. I read an interesting article about it, though, because the Major League Baseball has been very involved with, even if it's providing the stadium, like it's playing at Petco Park, they've been involved with, you know, like getting the real authentic uniform. So the commissioner, Rob Manfred, has been very much gung-ho for this type of production.
Pretty supportive of this idea.
Right.
The first pitcher to ever pitch in the Major League as the whole idea of this show pitch. And also, we're going to segue to something, the Women's Baseball League.
But they also said Fox production company is on Fox, I think on Wednesdays or Thursdays. They said that they're not going to, despite the help they've gotten from Major League Baseball, they're not going to shy away from the tough issues like the discrimination and things like that. So it's going to be interesting to see how the league handles that PR-wise when that all comes into play as the show progresses. So,
there hasn't been any female who has...
No, but I think they're still going to do the whole, like, connotation of how it would be...
frowned upon.
Perceived in the locker room and things like that.
Yeah,
that's our segue, because it's actually even mentioned in the article we're going to be speaking about.
Yes, obviously. And it's written by Jessica Luther, our girl.
Yes, who he spoke about several times in the show. Kyra's almost done with her book, and then is going to give it to me so I can read it, too.
It has iced tea stains on it, but you can...
So, like Kyra and I, we didn't even know about this, and we are pretty immersed in the women in sports world. There is a U.S. national women's baseball team.
Yeah.
And... they have already participated in the Women's Baseball World Cup, which took place in South Korea between September 13th and September 11th. It has since ended, but it's really cool that there is this place for... because, you know, a lot of the times as growing up, you start off in baseball. You don't automatically play softball right away because...
I played T-ball when I was...
Right, born. Exactly.
I transitioned to softball because that was the... kind of the same thing as baseball.
It's kind of the trajectory you're pretty much set to go on.
Hard to play softball after you reach a certain age, and a lot of women, they don't have that outlook to play baseball. And I think statistically, 100,000 girls, they start playing baseball, and then at least 1,200 of those women, they play to continue playing baseball in high school, which that is not a lot.
Yeah, if you think about that, that percentage wise is just. Very, 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 very big fall off. I'm trying to see who won the Women's Baseball World Cup. I'm looking it up right now.
Predicted to go top and U.S. to go second. Was it if U.S. won? I think it would have made national headlines just a little bit.
Japan won.
See, because Japan, they have their own women baseball league. They have both male and female, so they have more practice. And
also,
have
this is just, like, crazy. Like, Venezuela has a women's national baseball team. Like, you think about all these really big hotbeds for baseball, for even major league players. Venezuela is one of them. A lot of pockets in Korea are big for the major leagues. Like, all these places are now, like, this is crazy that they have this kind of... not farm system, but this outlet that, you know, you automatically think, like, the DR is very big. There's a ton of baseball players that come out of there, but you don't even think about the women end of it because they're not on a major league level.
I don't even know that they exist, though. You really have to deep dig in this internet sphere to figure that out and find where these female outlets lie. And a lot of these athletes, they go to Europe to play sports. Like, a lot of these female basketball players, they go to Europe to play professionally because... the outlet here is not as successful as it would be in Europe. And I don't understand how Europe has more of an open arms towards it. They're more open to it, or other countries are more open to the possibilities of even females playing a more male-dominated sport. And I don't understand why the USA is not as open to it or is not as supportive towards that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I just think it's strictly on a profit standpoint. If you're not going to make money, there's not going to be as much time and investment put into it. There's not going to be as much coverage about it. But stories like this, the story was published on XL Sports, which specializes in publishing women's sports news. So if you're interested in that, you can check out their website. And as always, you can always follow Jessica Luther on Twitter or anything, because she talks a lot about these kinds of issues.
She's a huge advocate for it. And especially domestic violence going on.
Yeah, sports. Are you doing the put a nail in it campaign, Kara? Get on it.
Nails are not...
Yeah, neither are mine. Mine are literally stubby, but if anyone doesn't know about it, Safe Horizons has come out with this campaign to paint your ring finger on your left hand purple, the only one that's painted purple, after you donate to Safe Horizons to bring awareness for domestic violence. And I think it's really cool because it's like something I've gotten so many questions about why one of my fingers is painted purple. And if you post a picture on Twitter and hashtag put a nail in it, that's the campaign. And yeah, even if you're a dude, paint your nail. Like, you'll get a lot more questions asked.
A lot more girls will come up to you and be like, hey.
Yeah, so.
Some attention. But yeah, I'm going to get my nails done today. I always used to do that, too.
Yeah, I mean, it was weird. Like, I went to get my nails done, and the lady, I was telling her, like, oh, can you please put, you know, on one finger? But it's common for people to put it on the two And, yeah. You know, I don't know what finger name this is. It's not the index finger. It's not the pointer finger. It's, like, the ring finger, I guess. I don't know. They usually, people put, like, one color, and I was like, oh, no, just on one hand, on one finger. And it was, like, kind of weird. But it gets the job done. People see it. People ask about it, which is the point, to raise awareness about it.
Yeah, that too, because I'm getting a mani today, yeah. Too, so.
I'll retweet it from the Throw Like a Girl website, website, Twitter.
And you know what? There was a quote that I took out of that piece, and it stated, the hardest part of being a girl in baseball is being able to show what you have. And I find that so true, and I think it goes with all sports, all aspects of sports, because I feel like every time I play a sport, I always have to feel like I have to prove myself against these men.
Right.
And I feel like every female, especially when you're 13 years old, you're going through that awkward stage, and you don't have that confidence to prove yourself. And I think that's what's something that inhibits us from progressing into a more male-dominated sport, is that confidence that we lack. So I think that it really stuck out to me, because it's true, and I think it's something that everyone relates to.
Yeah, and I just think it's also a good platform, because a lot of the time, when you get to the age where you want to be able to showcase your ability, you're one of the few doing it.
Yeah.
So I think that also has a lot to do with why girls feel like that, because when you are the minority, in a lot of the cases, you feel like you have to overcompensate for being the minority, and you have to prove yourself more than the person sitting next to you that looks the same as everybody else there.
Yeah, we have no one to look up to, because no one has come before us besides now Justine Seagal, and also Kelsey Whitmore, Stacey Piagno, and Anna Kimbrell. These women are just, actually Justine Seagal, she's been around MLB for years, and she was the first ever woman to coach on an MLB team. But these other three women that I just mentioned, they're 18 years old, and they have no one to look up to.
Yeah.
And they wanted to be those trailblazers for other women to look up to them and to maybe start a new baseball revolution.
Yeah, and that's what, even when we spent time with the NWHL, we got that same kind of vibe from the women playing in that league, because they said, you know, it's great, the greatest part about their job, Jenny Scrivens was the one, I literally have a soundbite of her saying, it's crazy to see, turn over to the sidelines and see little girls looking at us and wanting to be us, because we never had that, and now they have something to be like, oh my god, I can be like Jenny Scrivens, I can be like,
yeah,
Janine Weber, like those.
That's how you grow the sport.
Right. So it's really cool, and I just like really like learning about stuff like that, because I wonder now if there will be a women's baseball team in the Olympics alongside the women's softball team, since there is a women's national team, and obviously several countries have this.
I was thinking system. About that too. I don't know if that would. I feel like they think softball is the equivalent to baseball. So it's either
it's,
one
and
or
it's very, very, very fundamentally different. Softball and baseball are very two different sports.
Yeah, totally. But it's just
two
like,
completely different sports. This strategy is 100% different.
But I think softball is more prominent in the United States.
Yes, for sure.
And and you would have more prominent names to represent the softball team in the U.S., so I think it would market better.
Right.
So I don't know if...
Now,
US
I wonder if...
Baseball, not this possibility.
I wonder if the smaller countries, like Venezuela, like the smaller Spanish-speaking countries,
yes,
are in even the smaller countries in Asia that are part of this world... baseball organization, if they have an additional softball team like we have.
That's what I was thinking.
Or do a lot of these girls like double up and just get the practice for both and then end up representing their country in the Olympics for softball instead of, you know what I'm saying? Like they're not just exclusively yeah. baseball players, they're just exclusively baseball players when this event comes around.
What I found also interesting is that with this tournament, it was Japan and U.S. were the top two seeds, and that's the same thing with softball.
Right, which is part of the reason why they took it out of the Olympics in the first place.
The competitive nature is not there, so it looks like it's the same type of situation in both ways, so I think they would probably just stick with softball and forget about baseball, unless it's going to be a growing sport and a growing opportunity for the IOC to see. Maybe they would add it to it, but I don't think it's a thing for the 2020 Olympics. It's not going to be a possibility.
Well, let's segue...
Let's talk about what's next.
Let's talk about wild card, because that seems to be what everybody, every talk show, even not even just in New York, across the baseball world has been talking about. because it just seems like I said before, like no one wants the wild card spot. There's no team that's running away with it. There's no clear. I mean, mathematically, you can kind of narrow it down to about three teams in both leagues, but there's still that glimmer of if somebody goes on a run, then like they could technically still have a shot. The season ends on Sunday. Like, the baseball season's over, Kara. Is that not nuts to you? Like, every time that happens, because the baseball season is just so long, I always think, like, it's never going to end. It's never going to end. But here it is, this weekend, Sunday.
And honestly, this season went by so fast. I can't believe we're in October already and talking about...
This whole year has gone by fast.
I'm having a headache. I feel like the baseball gods want something... I don't know what's going on, but with the wild card, if you've been living under a rock or haven't even listened to the news lately, since it's everywhere, honestly, the NL wild card race, it's between the Cardinals, the Mets, and the Giants.
Yep.
The Mets are half a game above the Giants.
And the Cardinals are a game back from St. Louis.
So what are we going to do?
I mean... It's really tight. I just feel like there has been so many opportunities for both the Mets and the Giants. Like, the Giants played the Padres a couple of days ago. They couldn't get the series win. The Mets got swept by the last-place Braves. You know, there's just been plenty of opportunities for both, for one of these teams to pull away and kind of get that comfortable lead with the first wild card spot and pull away from the others.
But it's just not happening.
And it's like, not happening. Like, literally every time. There was one night where all the teams lost and nothing changed. Like, literally nobody wants the wild card, the NL wild card.
Last night, all the teams scored 12 runs.
Yeah.
The Mets won 12-1 over the Marlins. St. Louis won 12-5 over the Reds. And the Giants beat the Rockies 12-3. What is this?
I don't know. And now there's, like, the Mets have a very interesting situation if they do get this wild card spot.
It gives me a headache.
Do you
understand what is going on? I'm reading these articles. I'm like, I'm still confused of what the Mets should or should not do. Because our pitching situation is terrible.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. If you make the wild card. So if, let's say they throw Syndergaard the wild card, they advance. They're not, like, I don't foresee the pitching staff we have beating the Cubs. And now, if you think about it compared to last year, all these young arms pitched way longer than they ever had before, pitched more innings they ever had before, put more of a strain on their arms than they ever had before, so they didn't have that stamina. So I've been talking to a lot of Mets fans, and a lot of them are saying, you know, you're not going to win the World Series this year. Like, that's out of the question. That you'd need some type of miracle run, which I guess in baseball is not completely far-fetched. It's not, because the game is a very cruel game and things like that happen all the time. But a lot of them are saying, you know, just kind of get these guys rested for next year when everybody's arm comes back and is full strength, ready to go. Because last year they weren't expected to go as far as they did. That was like, but now they're, what'd you say? Sorry.
Shocked to everyone.
Exactly. Right, so now they're thinking because of the run they did last year and they weren't necessarily prepared for that because they didn't prepare accordingly, I guess, throughout the season, they're saying just to, like, you know, kind of not to tank it, but, you know, get these guys ready for next year when everybody's coming back. Like, where's Wheeler? Wheeler was supposed to be back. I don't know what the hell happened with him.
You know, my take on this is if you have a chance to make the playoffs, you go full course. I don't care about next season. Just go focus on what's going on right now. Honestly, you know what's going to happen next season. Zach Miller was supposed to come back this year. Didn't come back. He was projected to come back. These top guys are top, probably the tops in the MLB this year, pitching-wise. And we didn't have that because everyone got hurt. And I think we should all put our eggs in a basket and go full force and go for it. And I'm pretty satisfied with the way we have our starting pitchers have been playing.
I mean, for what we have, but you also have to remember we're playing sub-500 teams the entire time this has happened. So you're not playing the Cubs, you're not playing the Dodgers, you're not playing these teams that are playoff teams. You're playing the last-place Braves, the Marlins, teams like that that are essentially are just playing for pride at this point, and we can't even get a consistent winning record.
My thing is here is that if there was, let's say hypothetically it was a three-way tie, do the Mets want to play two games, or do they want to play one game?
I think you want to play one game, because who else besides Syndergaard are you going to trust to go out there and...
One game is a do-or-die situation. You will not make it to the playoffs. At least if you... They'll be the B team, they call. There's an A, B, and C team. They'll be the B team. They'll verse the Giants for home field advantage or whatever it is. And then they go to St. Louis, and then they'll see who gets knocked down as a result. So if they lose the game for home field advantage, who cares? Then they'll go play the Cardinals, and that'd be a knockout game.
I don't think it's going to be a three-way tie. There's going to be a clear-cut winner. I guess it technically, mathematically, it definitely could be, but I just don't foresee that happening. So, that's the case for the National League.
Now the American League, which I really have no clue.
The American League is just as interesting. Toronto is now sitting at the first wild-card spot with two games at hand. Baltimore is there for the second, but Detroit is only one game back, and Seattle is only two. Houston is 2.5. So Houston was in the mix for a long time. They've kind of put shot themselves in the foot a little bit. They lost a game to Seattle, which put them back. But I love the Blue Jays. I love that team. It's just really fun to watch. I think Baltimore would also be really fun to watch in a wild card game. So I'm kind of rooting for a Toronto-Baltimore AL wild card. But Toronto-Detroit, I think, would also be really interesting.
That's probably going to happen. Looking at the standings, Toronto, Baltimore. I feel like there hasn't been as much media attention towards the AL wild card as it is toward the NL wild card. I think they know how it's going to play out anyway. And they just got an ESPN alert. If you did not see Tim Tebow hit a home run on his first ever pitch in an instructional league. So that's another Tim Tebow update for all of you guys.
I've just about had it with Tim Tebow.
Involved in the playoffs at all.
There's been some teams that have obviously already clinched. The Chicago Cubs clinched like 3 years ago. Texas, the Rangers clinched the AL West. The Dodgers, the NL West, the Nationals, NL East, and Cleveland Indians clinched the AL Central. And that's going to be really, really exciting to see them. Because they have been a really electrifying team. Texas has also been... I think the AL has kind of been a little bit more exciting to watch in this, like, post-All-Star game run. Because they're just a little bit more... just because you see a lot of different teams in the mix. Like, when was the last time Cleveland has been in the playoffs, you know?
Yeah, because with the National League, you kind of know. But I think the AL, it's more talentfully stacked than the NL. Because they always win the All-Star game. So I feel like it's more entertaining to watch. But yeah. Actually, the Cubs are back in it, so let's hope they...
If the Cubs win the World Series, do you realize that Chicago will no longer be standing? That city will go nuts.
If anything happens this whole postseason, I would love the Chicago Cubs to win a World Series. They are more... They're well-deserving than any other team.
They're so young. They're so young.
Oh my god. And plus, they haven't won in like over 100 years. So
and that's what I'm saying.
I don't care about the youth. Like,
they would. That entire city will just go absolutely berserk if they won the World Series.
I don't think they would know what to do with themselves.
But the IL wildcard game is October 4th. The NL is October 5th.
I'm working it, baby. If it happens to come to New York.
I will be working all of the playoff games, so... There's that, and then the ALDS starts on the 6th, the NLDS starts on the 7th. So, I mean, postseason baseball is really exciting, even if your team is in it or not. So, really looking forward to that. I mean, last year I did, because it might have just been because the Mets had stake in the game. But, I mean...
What did you just go straight to the World Series and just watch the last game, to be honest?
No, I really... It depends on who's playing, because, I really like watching Toronto. So, it depends on what teams are in it. Like, this year I'm going to watch not only because of my job, but because it's going to be really cool to see the Indians in it. Because you don't get to... Like, that's something you don't see a lot. So, it's cool to see that fan base get excited and, you know... That's why so many people watched, even if they weren't Mets fans, watched the Mets run last year, because it was like, a lot of teams can identify with that kind of, you know, this almost like a struggle of being a Mets fan. They're like, hey, like, we get it. This is really exciting for you guys.
A dog coming out of nowhere, winning a game and making it to World Series. I love when teams you don't expect, they just shock you when they come out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's what's exciting
about it. You wanted to touch on something, too. You wanted to touch on the Rookie of the Year.
I did. So,
Sanchez, baby.
Like, everyone's talking about Gary Sanchez, and I'm not saying that what he hasn't done is very, very exciting, really cool for Yankees fans, really unexpected for the baseball world in general, for them to do, make all these crazy roster moves and then have the kind of second-half success or excitement that they've had. I mean, they're only four games back from the second wild card spot. Essentially, they're mathematically done. Still in it, but they're mathematically not.
But the only thing exciting about their season was Gary Sanchez.
But everyone is talking about Gary Sanchez as Rookie of the Year contender, which I don't... I'm not saying that he's not eligible for it, because how can you hit 26 home runs in, like, 55 games and not be considered for it? But I also want to point out, this is the same conversation we were having about Trevor Story at the start of the season. But you know what happened?
He got injured.
Okay, yes, but also pitchers figured out how to throw to him, you know? These guys come up from the same thing happened to Michael Conforto last year. He comes up, he has a raking, then comes back this year and kind of, you know, gets deflated a little bit because they figured out how to throw to him. And there's no doubt in my mind.
Yesterday, too, when I was working, I made the same point that pitchers don't know how to throw to him. But
and they will. They'll figure it out, because right now they weren't worried about figuring out how to throw to him because they were the Yankees. They were this, you know, the baby team in the league that they needed, that they kind of just, you know, no one really considered them as a threat, so they weren't worried about as much as if they were going against Detroit or Toronto. So they didn't, I would assume they didn't look as much into video and things like that. And I think once next year rolls around, he's not going to be hitting as many home runs. If you look at his scouting report, it literally says he's an average hitter.
I know he is. You can see. And then when he moved up to the majors, are shocked by the way he's been performing, and I understand the fact that the pitchers don't know how to pitch to him as of yet, but isn't that considered with every single rookie who's come into the majors? They don't know how to be treated yet. Pitchers don't know how to pitch them, and then when they get used to it...
Right. And I'm not saying that his feet is not great, because how can you say that someone who's hit this many home runs in this short amount of time is not worthy of an award like Rookie of the Year?
He is worthy of it.
Right, but I just think that also if you're going... Not that this has anything to do with, like, you know, picking who the Rookie of the Year should go to, because it's based on this year alone. It doesn't look at what they're projected to do the next year.
Yeah,
but
that stats are just stats. It's just that doesn't determine how he's going to perform.
But if you think about it, I don't think he's going to have the same type of success next year. I mean, it's exciting to watch, so all power to him. Maybe he will, and that'll be exciting.
I think he might the first couple of weeks of next season, but then he'll start to die down a little bit.
I don't know. I just think that you're having the same conversation about Trevor Story at the beginning of the year, and that has obviously since fallen off. Like, it happens. It happens a lot.
It happens to everybody. We're only human. But the thing with Sanchez is that he's only played not even one half season.
He's played 55 games to date, I believe.
So he hasn't played a full season.
I mean, a lot of the times rookies don't. Like, the guy I think should win it, or should be considered more than he's being talked about, is Ryan Healy of the A's. Yes, I said the A's. They are a team that exists in the MLB. No one really talks about.
There's any proof of that, Alyssa.
He's played only 66 games, 74 hits, 12 home runs, 33 RBIs. That's pretty good to me. That means he's gotten a hit in at least every single one of his games, or multiple hit games, in almost every game he's played in.
But what impact has it made on the team?
Well, there he's playing in the A's. You can't
make an impact.
I mean, I just think he should be in the mix of conversation about the Rookie of the Year.
Okay.
Specifically the AL.
I think it's just going to win AL Rookie of the Year. I think it's done deal. And Gary is scary, as Sterling would say. Doesn't even rhyme. I find, like, he has, like, a home run pull for...
Did you see... Okay, hold on a second. We need to talk about this. This is completely unrelated to baseball, but related to the Yankees.
I'm scared now.
Last night, did you see the dude propose to his girlfriend? I was crying. I was at work, and we have this system where you call out things that are happening throughout the game that might be good for different elements of the show. And someone called it out, and I'm like, what? Like, what is he talking about? And I went on Twitter, and I was just, I was laughing so hard. Like, that is just the worst luck ever.
It's the worst nightmare. Okay, so people, listeners who don't know what happened, a guy in a Yankee game went to propose to his girlfriend, but as soon as he opened the box, the ring was not there. The ring was somewhere on the floor. So imagine proposing to your girlfriend and the ring is lost in a sea.
In the middle of the Bronx.
Okay? And, oh my, I would have freaked. You know how much money he probably paid for that ring? And it's on the floor somewhere? But thank God the rally of fans came and they found that ring.
And she said yes. She
finally got it. She said yes. She better say yes after that. God. I saw that. I almost had a stroke. I was like, oh my God, he's probably going nuts. Congratulations on the happy couple, and it made for a really good story.
Yeah, and it definitely, there was a lot of really good calls on it, like Michael Kay, Sterling. They all had really nice calls about it. It was really funny to see. It was a nice little, you know, lighthearted moment in the wake of a very eventful weekend in baseball. Before we get to the biggest news in baseball, just got to touch on Vin Scully.
Yes, Vin Scully.
Called his last game at Dodgers, last home game for the Dodgers, 67 season career. And also, ironically, this is why sports, everyone loves sports, is because things like this happen, and so many things like this has happened all week long. The Dodgers clinched on the NL West.
Yeah.
With Corey Seager, who is also a contender for Rookie of the Year.
Yes, and I think a lot of people are saying, which this holds true, that this will never happen ever again in baseball, a career like that and the longevity of his career.
No way.
And how he's just a staple and an icon that a lot of up-and-coming broadcasters look up to. And it's just amazing how he had such a long career and he just kept going into his 80s. And I don't know. It's mind-boggling to me. And what he has seen, too. Imagine the stories he has to tell.
And he has some of the best call. Like, he's, you know that old-fashioned baseball that everyone loves? Like, he is that. Like, that is, when you watch, when you listen to him, you know you're going, like, you have, like, old, gritty baseball call. Like, it is just, it's so poetic, it's so natural, and there's not like that anymore. It's not like that anymore.
It's not there anymore. America's pastime, like, that, he was the definition of it, and I'm gonna miss listening to him, but I understand he is old, and he's tired, and he needs
like, 67 seasons.
Like, it's crazy!
People don't even live to 67. Never mind work and one job for 67 years.
And how baseball has progressed into this modern era and how he stayed relevant throughout it all. I commend him for everything he has done. And
it was really cute to see the Dodgers, a lot of them, when they came up to bat, they took off their helmets and tipped their helmets to him in the booth. And that was just, like, really nice, really classy. The Dodgers did, I think, a great job honoring him that weekend. And it's sad because the day of his last home game was Sunday, September 25th, which is also the day of the tragic, sad, horrible news of the passing of the young Jose Fernandez, 24 years old, pitcher for the Florida Marlins. I think this is going to be one of those moments in sports where people talk about where they were when they heard about it. Because
I was just going to say, where were you?
I was away this weekend with two of my friends, and if you don't know, I work for MLB Network, and I had, like, 40-something emails, 3 missed calls. I thought I got fired, Kara. I was like, what the hell did I do that they're calling me? And I hadn't been at work since Thursday because I had gone away for the weekend. And I had a few text messages from people from work, and I was like, I saw Jose Fernandez, I saw died, and I was like, this got to be some kid coming through the system that is not a st- – like, there's no way that this is the Jose Fernandez. Like, there's just no way.
Yeah.
I got up, I put on the network, and I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Like, I cannot believe that happened. Like, I just can't believe it. I still can't believe it.
Yeah, I was driving to Citi Field, and my friend texted me, and she said, you know, Jose Fernandez died, and then I saw the ESPN on, and I'm like, I literally, not even exaggerating, I got chills running through my body, and I just, the whole mood that I had going into working the Mets game, it just went from up here to the lowest of lows.
I was away with two of my friends, and neither of them follow baseball closely. So I was trying to think of a comparable person to say, this is like the death of so-and-so in football, or so-and-so in basketball, or so-and-so in...
Yeah.
And I couldn't really think of one, because not only is he young, is he upcoming, is he a dominant force in the game, who has this, like, joyous attitude and this...
Yeah.
This, you know...
He seriously had a love for the game.
But there's also this whole... American dream, Cuban influence in playing in Miami aspect to it that is really the crazy part about it, and there's no real comparable person.
And he was so young. Alyssa, 24 years old, and he came here at the age of 15 after trying three times to defect from Cuba to Mexico, and he was, 15 years old when he came to this country, and he was imprisoned.
He was imprisoned with murderers, with rapists, with real criminals, and all he wanted to do is just find a life that was better for himself and his family.
This was before he even turned 16, and how do you handle that as a kid and then have this outlook on life after dealing with all that, playing for a Major League Baseball team, pitching the way you're pitching, and having this light about you? And
there's this, I'm sure you've seen it, I'm sure if anyone's listening, a lot of people have seen it. There's a GIF of when Giancarlo Stanton hits a home run, and he goes berserk in the dugout. He's, like, banging on the top of the fence. He's freaking out. And that's just... it's just crazy to me. It really is someone so young and so vibrant to go the way he did in a boating accident and have the history on the water that he did. He came on here on a boat. He saved his mother from drowning on one of their voyages to the United States. There's just all these eerie facts. I can't even remember the last time this has happened in Major League Sports. I mean, that happened a couple years ago with the Cardinals. One of their prospects had passed, and they were highly...
He made such an impact on Major League Baseball.
But right, he wasn't an established Major League player like Jose Fernandez.
And such a bright star. He could have changed.
He was going to get a $200 million contract once he hit free agency. And that's not even, like, in a situation like this, like, yeah, he's a great ball player, yeah, but, like...
He does so much for the community, too. It's not just what he's
when
done.
When you are a Cuban-American playing in Miami, that is something so special. It really is. Especially, he was up for the whole, like, during his career...
Yeah.
In the major leagues, the embargo on Cuba was lifted. The Major League Baseball played their first game in Cuba. Like... it's just, it really is, it's bigger than the game.
Yeah.
And,
it's just sad to see that he's not...
It really is. He was expecting a child. He announced 5 days prior to his death. Yeah. Really close to his mother and his grandmother. His grandmother was...
Did you see the video of when the Marlins gave his grandmother a 2-year visa to come to the United States, and when he first saw his grandmother and that expression on his face and how he just lit up? Because his grandmother is the reason why he's played baseball.
Yeah, for sure. I mean... It was so funny, like, she took him into the batting cage and was, like, throwing to him and catching the ball, and she's, like, so old.
it was like a Cinderella story, and it's just sad that it had to come to an end in such a...
And his last outing was against the Nationals, had a completely dominant game, probably one of his best starts of his career. His family was there to see it, which is really nice.
His grandma was there.
He obviously impacted the baseball world. There was tons of tweets sent out.
Yeah.
But one of them was really, not really interesting, but Ian Desmond tweeted something. I have to find it. I'm looking for it now. But it was, like, you just see the joy he has in his face. Also, there's a tweet from Allison Williams, a reporter. She took a photo of, she works for ESPN. She took a photo of Fernandez after he had beat the Dodgers. And I guess it was fireworks night at the stadium. And you see him, like, looking. He, like, pulled up a chair and just sat in the field and watched the fireworks. Like a little kid, you know? And that's just something that's...
Yeah.
Makes me so sad, you know? Ian Desmond tweeted, Liv, you can't wait for status, money, approval, whatever's holding you back. Liv, live with joy, live with love and joy. Push people around you to do the same. And it's, you know, a lot of the times in life, you get caught up in
craziness, like these little like insignificant things that
you worry about stuff. But at the end of the day, like, life really is too damn short, you know? And you gotta...
And he did, and that's what we have to focus on and look at.
And it sucks that it takes something like this, a tragedy like this, to remind people of that, but...
It's open people's eyes, but...
When you're 24 years old and...
Yeah. 2 years older than us, Alyssa. 2 years older than us. It's just... And what I found, I feel like there is a higher power because balls washed ashore of his autograph on it.
And the whole D. Gordon hitting his 9th career home run ever on the first pitch. No, not the first pitch. In his first at-bat.
Said bat, and that was the furthest.
And then Elsmendi Diaz and the Cardinals, a childhood friend, grew up in Cuba with Fernandez.
They lived on the same street together.
Yeah, and hit his first career grand slam.
Like, there's a higher power up there, and Jose Fernandez is looking down and smiling upon whatever's going on in the baseball world.
It's really, really, really sad.
But the way the Marlins went about it in the ceremony they had before the game, it was very tasteful and very respectful. And
I think Major League Baseball across the board did a good job.
Yeah, they didn't do too much, but it was just the right amount of tribute towards him.
And, yeah, I mean, even with the... It's really heartbreaking. I know this is kind of goes against what a lot of things of what I say, but... When you see grown men crying like that,
yeah,
when they're you know, I mean, I don't have a problem with it, but when you have these baseball players that are supposed to, you know, making all this money, are like the exemplatory form of masculinity in this country, yes. Like that's how we hold these professional athletes to these kinds of standards, and to see them kind of just like sobbing and
just show that they're human beings, they're not robots who
right.
control when you bet. Money on to win these fantasy leagues for. They're actually human beings, and just to see them show some emotion other than joy and happiness, it just puts things into perspective.
It's very jarring, very jarring.
Well, but, we'll see what happens in the baseball world and see how Jose Fernandez has impacted, and we'll see what's going on with. Also, they were thinking that he should be Cy Young
contender, yeah. Well, he was third in voting in the past. And you think about it, also his career in general, he wins Rookie of the Year, I think, in 2013. He has Tommy John. He was only in the majors for 4 seasons, and it was played with a bunch of setbacks and so many accomplishments.
Yeah, and his ERA.
And you knew every time he threw against the Mets,
there
was gonna be, it was gonna be a loss, there was gonna be 17 strikeouts, like...
It was gonna be total domination. Like, you expected greatness from him, and it just happened. And also,
million-dollar smile.
The whole plate ump, John Hirschbeck, he lost his 2 sons to ALD, which inhibits muscle function through the brain. It's a type of disease. And he was hit pretty hard, too, because of the death of Jose Fernandez. He lost both of his sons at a young age. And it's just been a very emotional week for everyone in the baseball community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Astros also lost a groundskeeper guy who died, like, this week, too.
I feel like this whole year, 2016 has, like, been... what is going on?
I know.
I want to get this podcast on a high note now, because I feel like there's all these things,
no,
like...
No, that's a good point. If you look at the list of... Arnold Palmer died the same day.
Yeah, like,
if you look at the list of... Even, I mean... I know a ton of people who died in 2016, but, like... In the world of sports, there's major, major trailblazers across the board who have passed this year.
It's crazy, and we have to stop this. We have to do something. They're like, a girl is on the move right now. But it's just insane, and I don't know. How are we going to get away from this topic? Because I feel like I want to end this podcast on a light note.
Well, light note going into is that...
What's going on? Got to give you some good news here. I'm getting depressed.
With the playoffs coming, and, you know... October baseball is when baseball is at its pinnacle, and it's the way that Jose Fernandez pitched every time he played, you know? So, at least going forward, the game will be played in the manner which he always came out and played in.
Yes. I like so, that.
So, there you go. That's my positive twist to it.
Yeah, it's positive twist. Well, we have to end this podcast because what are we in? An hour into this podcast, and we I don't are. Want you guys to shut us off when you're listening to us because
so, well, yes, tune in to our next episode in 2 weeks. We will...
Weeks? I'm not going to talk to you for 2 weeks?
Well, I'll talk to you, but we will talk to them for 2 weeks. So know, by them. Then, we'll be deep into the playoffs, the baseball playoffs. We'll have... Maybe we'll talk some football since we haven't touched on that yet. And there's definitely... Basketball will be started by then. Hockey also. So there's going to be a lot... Next podcast will be pretty busy. If you have anything you want to talk about, make sure you reach out to us and let us know so we can make sure we have it.
And just on social media accounts. We'll repeat it again because I haven't seen any activity from you people. On Twitter, at @thrillinggay_girl. Facebook, just search Throw Like a Girl Radio, even though we're not on radio anymore. Just search for us on Facebook. And that's about it. But you can look up for us on YouTube for any past episodes you want to listen to. Just search Throw Like a Girl Radio. We'll be on iTunes. Just search Like a Girl Radio.
And just make sure, if anything you've learned from this past week and this final couple minutes of the podcast, love deeply, laugh often,
because you never
life
know.
Is too short.
It is.
Call someone, tell them you love them, text somebody you haven't talked to in a while, let them know you're thinking about them, because it's not worth it. It's really not.
It's not. And always live life to the fullest. And don't sleep away your life. A lot of people like to take naps these days and worry about sleep. Get up and off your butt and go out and do things. Please, because you never know. You never know. You want to make an impact, and that's what we're trying to do, and that's why we're doing this podcast, to make an impact on this industry, and hopefully we're making an impact on you listeners. So, goodbye.
Happy October baseball.
Happy Halloween!